Welcome to Holden Village. Today is Thursday, July 18th, 2002. This session is entitled The Giving Bowl and is hosted by Joe, Linnea, and Mimi Arnett. This is session ARJ 2002-12. Let's listen in.
And do you want to introduce yourself?
And I'm Linnea Arnett.
And I'm Joe Arnett.
And I'll just give a brief intro
okay.
to where the book came from. As a family, on 9/11 this past year, we were separated. Joe was in Minnesota working, and Linnea and I were at home. And
In Washington,
over the mountains, and I think Linnea and I started lighting a candle at that time, thinking about him and his safety. And then, as a family, as the situation developed, we started thinking that we would like to be able to do something as a family, more than just writing a check and donating to an organization. And we had a bowl, we'll use this one that Joe's carving right now, that was empty, that we had bought in Holden as a beggar bowl that we enjoyed and was on the table. And we decided we would like to fill it with our change from our pockets every evening as part of our dinner tradition. And then when the bowl filled, we would find an agency. Oh, you don't want to tell the details because it's in the book. But anyway, that we would find an organization to donate that. But that was our small part. And I guess I can say that for myself, as the tradition, it, you know, money makes a sound, number one, when it goes in the bowl. They kind of... I don't know, makes us a little more aware, and also we always do it when we're eating, you know, as part of our awareness that there are some people that might not be sitting down at that time because they might not have anything. So, without further...
I'll jump in just a little bit, just to give a little more background. I'll be brief, because Linnea has other responsibilities. She has a big role to play, and we won't talk about that. But anyway, through the years, I've always been interested in hunger relief, or concerned about hunger, and felt called in some way to respond to that. And I tried a couple things through the years dealing with food directly, growing food or distributing food, and I was a little suspicious of money. And it's interesting now for this, as this tradition developed, that this is a bowl for holding money. It's not it, but it's for money that's to go for food, for people that need food. And after 9/11, I was very concerned about people, particularly in Afghanistan, who were victims of the war, who were not able to provide for themselves because of that. They weren't able to feed themselves, and I felt really strongly that I wanted to do something about that. And I actually thought about quitting my job and trying to get involved in hunger relief or something. I felt like I really needed to do more than just feel bad. I needed to do something. And I talked to a friend of mine who's worked in refugee relief for the UN. He said, well, the best thing you could do is send money to the agencies that are all set up to respond to those situations. So that's what we did. We started thinking of a way to make our thinking of people on a daily basis sort of just part of our daily life. And we think of the bowl as representing the people in the world who are hungry, and that when we have dinner, we feel like we're sharing our dinner in some little way, but in some consistent way with them. And so anyway, this little book grew out of that tradition that we started. It's a story about how that started.
Would you like to start? And Linnea will now read it for you.
That's the time to listen to the story.
Just sit back and relax.
The Giving Bowl. By Joe and Leonard. The Giving Bowl. The giving bowl is a new tradition in my family, and this is the story about how it started. When we sit down for dinner, we talk to each other about what we are thankful for. It's our way of saying grace. In some families, people close their eyes and one person says a prayer and then everyone says amen. We do that at my grandmother's house. At my friend's house, we hold hands and close our eyes and sit quiet for a minute. People have many different traditions, and at most meals, we just sit down and eat. But we're always glad to have food, even if we don't say anything. At dinner, when we talk about what we are thankful for, Papa starts because I ask him to. Mama is next, and then it is my turn. I am always thankful for the dinner. Sometimes I think of other things too, like having a friend to play with, or having two sweet kittens. There are also things that I'm not thankful for, like when the boys at school run through our gates, or when my friend lies to me. But the thing that we are not thankful for, that gave us the idea for our new tradition, is that there is a war going on. We hear about people who don't have any food, and we are not thankful for that. My papa says that he had a tradition when there was another war, before I was born, of lighting a candle at dinner. He did it to remember the people who were suffering because of the war. A woman talking in a church gave him the idea, and he thought it was a good one, and so he did it too. After a while, the candle especially reminded him about the people who were hungry, and we think about that now too. It is a strange feeling to think of people going hungry when we have so much. We wish we could do something about it, but a lot of people who are hungry are far away.
Those are your two little kids.
One's white, huh?
That's supposed to be. It's kind of like a coloring book.
Oh, it's like a color book.
So you can color it whatever
you
want.
Oh, you're
coloring. We would be glad to share some of our dinner, but that is not practical. When the new war started, we didn't feel good. Papa got out an old candle holder that belonged to my great-grandmother, and a little candle to remind us about the people who are hungry. But we didn't want to just feel sorry. We wanted to do something to help. Our new tradition started because of that feeling, with the help of a special bowl that we got last summer in Holden Village. That is a place in the mountains where people can go for a retreat. A potter there named John made some little bowls and said that they were beggar bowls. Beggars are people who go out with an empty bowl to ask for food. Some beggars aren't able to work, and some are just poor. Some beggars are monks who give away everything they have and live by begging so they can learn to be humble. Their empty bowls are a symbol that they need something that they can't give to themselves. The other people believe something that giving food to the monks is good for themselves too. So one night we put a little empty beggar's bowl on the table by the candle because they are both very special things to us. And that's when Papa got the idea for the new tradition.
That's the monk.
Mm-hmm. That's a what? Monk. It's a kind of a pig. Papa said that we would think of the empty bowl as being for all the people in the world who are hungry, and that we could put a little money in the bowl whenever we ate, as if we were sharing our food with them. And that is just what we do. When the bowl starts to get full, we decide who to give the money to. We call it a giving bowl because it is a way to give to others. We give some of the money to the food bank in our own town, but we send some to organizations who feed hungry people all over the world. We have other ideas too, and part of our tradition is to try to find how to help the most with the little amount of money we have to give. We usually put just a little money in the bowl at each meal, but even a little used in the right way can provide a lot of food. And some traditions last a long time. We can imagine tons of food coming out of the little giving bowl on our table. If we used it for our whole life, it is amazing that such a small bowl could do that much. Some of the money goes for food right now for people who are starving or are not able to get all the food they need.
That's the candle.
Good Mitch.
Some goes to buy seeds for farmers so that they can get started again. Sometimes we put in more if we have something extra. One time when I got a gold Sacagawea dollar from the Tooth Fairy, I put that in the bowl too. I went running out to tell Poppy when he came home from work. He said that was one of his proudest moments as a parent. A tradition is something we do together to remember or celebrate things that are important. Traditions are not things that you just think about. They are things that you do. When you light candles on a birthday cake, or when a tooth falls out and you put it in a letter to the Tooth Fairy, these are traditions. Some traditions are very old, but sometimes you can start a new one or find a new one. That's what we did. Papa says that if we ever need it, we can take money out of the giving bowl, too. Because in this world, we all need each other. The giving bowl helps us remember. That's the Tooth Fairy.
With
a little basket.
Full tooth.
And then that's a birthday cake.
Good. Seven candles?
In the back, does it say your address? Yeah, they're down there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can definitely mail you your headband back. I could.
All right, good. Well, thank you, Linnea, for reading. So, some of our idea in the story is that we would like to make a sort of an addition on the back of this book, which in a way that could be easily understood would describe some of the reasons that people are hungry in the world. Because it seems like there's lots of misconceptions that there isn't enough food, or if we respond to the hunger that we're only making the problem worse. And it's our understanding those aren't true, that those are misunderstandings. So we'd like to have a little addendum on the reasons that anybody in this world would be hungry. And then the second thing we'd like to add is we started a list of places you could send money, or places that these are places we send ourselves with our addresses. So it'd be very easy just to, you know, and what we do is we write a check and put it in an envelope to one of these places. And we try to, part of what we're trying to do, and we're not experts in this, we're trying to learn about it, but we're trying to find where are the best places to send money. Who's really doing an effective job of responding to hunger? And in the back of this, we ask people to send us addresses if they know of organizations that they think are really doing a good job. I don't know of a real consumer's bulletin for hunger relief, but I know there are different measures of how effective programs are. But our intention is to add to this, to make it more of a to give people lots of options.
Are those all Seattle addresses?
No, one is in Seattle, our neighborhood food bank, and one is the UN World Food Program, which is an international program, and one is Oxfam America, that's out of England. Cause I have the friend who told me I should just send money to the hunger relief agencies. He's sort of my, right now he's my consumer's bulletin on hunger relief. I just trust his, because I know him very well and I trust his judgment. But he has said that he thinks those are good agencies.
And a friend just read it and said the Heifer Project, which is, I think, part of Oxfam, too.
think the denominational hunger program is also one of the guys who's coming up in August on teaching step is the communications director for Lutheran World Relief.
Lutheran World Relief.
Yeah, and I would think whatever denomination.
We'd like to collect those names and addresses.
Okay.
And so if you agree, anybody feels that's part of our reason for wanting to make a presentation is we want to learn more and get more information from you.
Like the Thomases had pictures in Jamie and after the Israeli, whatever you want to call it, of the Lutheran World Relief quilts and bringing food and stuff that is, but they also, of course, had UNICEF, I think, was on that same trip and stuff like that, so.
Yeah, so our hope is to get some addresses from them. Yeah.
And a vision, too.
Pardon?
World vision. That's what I was sitting here trying to remember.
Well, that's
they have those little bread loaves that you.
He's with the American Refugee Committee. He used to be with Catholic Relief Services.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, one thing I want to add, we did give, I think one of our first checks was to our local food bank, and they put out a quarterly newsletter that we're on their mailing list, and we went to some social event in our community, and I hadn't opened the mail that day. It was still sitting on the table, and this woman came, several people came up to Linnea that day and said, I saw your name in the newsletter, and I'd really like to see your book, and I think that what you're doing is really wonderful. And that was really nice for her to hear that it came back to her, that recognition that she was a part of that. And it was just a little sentence about, you know, Joe and Linnea Arnett did this. This is their creative way or whatever of donating. And I, as a parent, I really thought this is really a good thing because now she can see that it's community-wide what she's doing.
I'll tell another story. If I knew it, I'd get choked up. I get emotional about this stuff sometimes, you know, especially when Linnea's concerned. But anyway, the Sacagawea dollar, she told you about that, how she got this from the tooth fairy. This is a very precious thing to her, you know, and she put it in the bowl. I thought, well, this is very moving. And then when the bowl got filled and we wrote checks, you know, and took the money and kind of counted it, and she kept looking at the Sacagawea dollar, you know, she said, well, you know, maybe I'm not sure I want to give this, you know. And I said, well, you know, it's really up to you. It's a donation. You can keep it if you'd like to take it back, because we've put a lot of money in. And then she thought about it, and she said, no, she says, someone would be really glad to get this. So she put it back in. So.
Well, actually, the night that she said, I'm going to put my tooth fairy money in the giving bowl, I said, are you sure you want to do that? That's, you know, your special money. And she said, no, it's mine to do whatever I want with it. So I was very touched.
You didn't offer to give her four quarters to put in, so she could keep her.
So she could sell Sacagawea dollars.
You know, I bought that Sacagawea dollar, and I still have it. So yeah. Somebody got
I'll keep
the dollars
one stashed away just because I don't want to spend it.
Yeah. So we're also, like I said before, we're not experts in this, nor have we, you know, done great things to ease the hunger in the world, and we're curious to know what other people are doing. And last week we did a similar session, and we were really interested to hear what other people are doing in their churches or in their communities. And
our church, now Joanne and I belong to the same church, Beautiful Savior in Vancouver, Washington, and we're involved in the Heifer Project, mm-hmm. and then Tony has us writing letters for hunger.
Yeah, for Bread for the World.
Huh?
Bread for the World.
Bread for the World. Mm-hmm. So Tony
Burgess-Kassler.
He's the fellow, he's here this week.
I've heard of Bread for the World. I've heard of that.
Yeah, but he's here this week. You could talk to him, and he's
and he gets a whole table with so that we can write and gives a sample copy of what kind of letter to write to the senators
and the addresses of the Congress.
And that's who you write it to.
Yeah.
Yep. And it's not a form letter that you sign, is it?
Not necessarily. No. Yeah. No. You write it in your own words, but there's a sample so that you can have an idea.
But he's a dedicated man to this.
And there's usually at least a dozen people each session when he brings that out.
So when you write those letters, what's the...
Well, the idea is to bring some kind of influence on the people in Washington to enact legislation that helps the world.
So do you have a specific act that you're supporting when you write
letters? Sometimes, yeah.
But it is for hunger.
Yeah,
it is for hunger.
Yeah, it is for hunger.
Well, we are sort of a bread basket in Washington.
Well, I know.
We grow a ton of food.
Well, and the you know, the whole idea is that legislators are always saying, you know, write to us with your concerns.
And they do respond.
And they do respond.
I really believe that.
And that's his point. They do respond.
Yeah.
So, and then if it's a personal letter with your signature on it, it means more than the phone letter, I'm sure.
Is there a way that you find out, like, will you find out through this program what particular bills are before Congress?
Yeah, I don't know. Tony must get
all. Ask Tony tonight. Yeah. He probably has a lot of.
So Tony.
Tony Burgess Kessler. That's his wife that slipped on the mountain yesterday.
Oh,
so if you see somebody walking around with a crutch.
She have dark hair?
Yeah, she has dark hair.
And I did see somebody walking around on a crutch. I don't know if it's the same one.
Actually, she wasn't even using a crutch. Oh, she was when I saw
her. Oh, no, she's got a crutch.
Well, there's a young girl.
There's a young girl.
Using a crutch, but that's a different person.
Like a teenager.
Yeah.
No, this couple are middle-aged, and they have their children. And a little girl named Ruth that you may have seen around, that's Oriental. That's her daughter.
Mm-hmm.
She's about 10.
And
she's from your church?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
in our church in Vancouver.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
we have about 26 people.
Well,
here
and Jeff and Emily.
Right.
And we're all going to meet. Yeah. Our church is going to meet tonight at Jeff and Emily's.
Oh, that's
at,
right.
In fact, Emily was on the mountain with.
Yeah, with
Karen
when she slipped.
We saw Jeff going up there with spatulas for cookie making. So.
Yeah, they're going to give us cookies tonight. But anyway, that's the couple.
All right.
And you'll.
And
I'm sure he'd love to talk to you.
My former congregation was very involved in supporting World Vision.
Oh, yeah.
And what we learned about that, while our pastor had gone on a trip to India and became very, you know, cognizant of the fact of just what kind of help they do give. And he was so very impressed that, oh, goodness, it's like, I don't know, 90% plus, 98% of everything given goes to actual...
To the recipients.
They're,
That's wonderful.
Yeah, it is. And that's why it's such a great organization.
One of my colleagues actually quit his job and went to work for them.
Oh, yeah. Well, and one of the other things that was so good about that, you can sign on for specific projects, like digging a well in a specific town or village or whatever. And so the congregation so gets into it then, because they know they're building a well in this little village in Africa or whatever, and,
right.
and that their money specifically goes for that. And then you learn what that does for the village then too. You get all this information so that you know. Well, and then of course, too, just, you know, for the hunger aspect of things, or seeds, or well, and the Heifer Project is much like that too.
At our church also, the young people are always having food drives.
Churches do a lot of food.
And there's a lot of times that there's a barrel there for food.
For local food banks.
One of the other things about this World Vision program, it was so interesting because until we got involved in that, our contributions were, maybe, you know, $200-$300 a year in the budget or something like that. Well, we got these little, it's just a little plastic bread loaf with a hole in it. And you keep putting your shekels in there. And I think they were collected either once a year or twice a year. I can't remember which. But all of a sudden, we were giving thousands. It was just amazing.
Same idea, except it was a loaf of bread instead of a bowl.
Yeah. And it's just amazing how when you just keep putting your change.
Just a little bit to add up if it's a...
And then, of course, a lot of people would just write a big check.
Why couldn't you do that anymore?
Well, I don't know. This was in my former congregation.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know that the Beautiful Savers ever done that. But the
past... Well, I remember having one of those little bread, plastic, I don't know if you've ever, it was a little plastic loaf of bread.
I've never seen
and
those.
I thought that was great, and I put change in every day in it. But when it came time to turn it in, I think they have to cut it apart. It's just a waste. It's not like this. This is an open bowl. I like this.
I like this too. But what we would do is we would have a Sunday for collecting the bread loaves, and then they would set up about 3 or 4 tables right up in the chancel with hammers on them.
Oh, and break them open.
Yes.
Oh,
and so here was this absolute chaos going on for about 5 minutes, you know.
Oh, I didn't know that was.
And the money just spilled out onto the table, and it was so neat because you had this visual thing of what a bunch of people could do over a period of time. And it sounds like a crazy thing to do, but it was so very effective.
That's great. That sounds kind of, sounds
I love this idea.
Fun. Well, thank
have
you.
Are you selling her book or your?
Yeah, this we did a self-publishing. We made 100 copies and we brought about 60 up here, and they've almost all sold. There's still a few in the bookstore. Yeah,
you have some in the bookstore. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and we just we give to hold.
And they are coloring books. She said that they're
well,
they're white. I said, is that a white? Yeah. She knows. It has to
yeah,
be
it's just outline. In fact, our idea was that it would be a coloring book. And Lydia has colored two, one for Mamie and one for my brother.
Well, sure.
So then it becomes your own personal copy.
Yeah, so it is kind of a coloring book.
And just to let you know, she will autograph them.
Oh, that's
she's been known to autograph them here at Holden.
Yeah, she's very gracious. But
and she's only 7 years old?
Seven and a half, yeah.
She's certainly reasonable.
And is this just a girlfriend? At first I thought they were sisters.
Well, they'll tell you that sometimes.
They'll tell you they're sisters? Yeah.
They just met here.
Oh, they just met
a week and a half ago.
She's seven.
Seven.
Yeah.
That's wonderful.
But we
let me see the cover.
We give them to Holden for the cost of coloring. That's why.
Who did the cover?
I had a project a few years ago, I don't know, 8 or 10 years ago, where I tried to grow food to give away.
Oh.
And so I called it the Open Bowl. And so that idea was kind of germinating and all those, and it didn't really produce a lot of food for people in the world who were hungry, but I learned from it.
Where do you live?
We live in Seattle area.
Bothell.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
The Open Bowl was up in Rockport, Washington, in the backyard of the church there.
Mm-hmm. I love this candlestick.
Yeah.
No,
and where are you folks from?
Minnesota.
You're both from Minnesota? Mm-hmm. And you're both from Washington? Yeah.
Vancouver. I feel like I'm from Portland because you just live across the bridge.
Your church does thing. Mm-hmm. Your church does thing. Oh, yeah, they get a lot, but we don't have any special programs.
You're hungry.
Uh-huh. Do you live in a big city or a small town?
Small town.
Mm-hmm. A lot of farmers.
Not pretty much a resort area.
Oh, is that right?
We're in a lake area.
Oh, in northern Minnesota?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, whereabouts?
Park Rapids.
That's such a beautiful idea.
So I don't know if we said it too well, except we did work in the Superior National Forest.
Bemidji?
Pardon?
Bemidji.
No, I know Cook. And the Gunflint Trail. Ely.
Well, see, those are north of us.
Yeah.
But we have the same sort of terrain because we have mostly lakes and woods.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, so hard to grow things.
Mm-hmm. But outside of the National Forest.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The girls were doing that before you came in.
Oh, yes, and Linnea wanted me to let
you know
that
they created this. I just thought they could.
That's what I mean.
Drawings.
Our granddaughter is Hannah Linnea.
Oh,
well.
And does she have, you have an extra A in there from the way I see it spelled.
He's a botanist.
Bridges of Peace.
Oh, that's a botanist.
It's a name that's a little blue flower.
I should write that one down too.
Well, actually, it's a little pink flower. Did you go on his walk?
No,
I did.
Oh, did you remember seeing Linnea Borealis? That's what we talked about because
in Jerusalem.
There's some growing right there.
Well, I didn't go on his flower walk, but when we were on the Connor walk, she called attention to a little pink.
It's behind the high house.
That's called what, Linnea?
That's named after the botanist, isn't it? Linnaeus or whatever.
He named it after himself, which you're not supposed to do.
Oh, so what? How do you spell Linnaea?
Well,
in here it's L-I-N-N-A-E-A.
Yeah, but most Linnaea is spelled without that extra A, of course,
because I have. My Swedish relative doesn't have that extra.
Yeah.
Well, there's a little book about Linnaea's garden.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. It makes it much more real, doesn't it, when you actually know some of the boys from it. What a story that is.
Oh, that's neat.
Well, our church has a little garden in back of it.
Oh,
they have the land, and they have cultivated it. And actually, they're just opening it up this month to ask the children and families to come and help.
It was a gift to Mimi, the mother.
Once a week, which I hope to get Linnea and I involved in for the rest of the summer, and then they take their produce down to the food bank. I think that's what he said at our church. They have just a little. Well, actually, it's a large area because they didn't pave the whole area. They left they paved the parking lot, and then they have this strip that's left in there, growing quite a bit of food. I think I'll be surprised to see how many potatoes they dig up.
Yeah, last year I think they had like 900 pounds of food.
Yeah, wow. That our church
that they grew. A lot of potatoes. Potatoes are really heavy, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Did she say you made that bowl? And
well, yeah,
so what kind of wood? Is it wood from here?
No, I brought it from home because I didn't know if I was going to be able to find any of the right type.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it's
it's kind of I've always been a wood carver.
Oh, carved it with, oh my goodness, chisel?
Well, I use adzes.
That up close.
And a crooked knife.
You make that?
Yeah. I'll show you my toolkit here. But actually, this project is some of the motivation for these little bowls, because I've carved since I was a kid. But I don't have a lot of time now. I just started wanting to have some small projects. I thought, well, I'll make some little bowls. This one is
just starting
this one. You can pass it.
And what kind of wood?
Kind of like wood.
It's red alder.
You know,
red alder.
And I have a nice thing about carving, you don't need a lot of machines. I use these two adzes. These are carving tools. I use one for the inside, it's curved, for doing the hollowing. And then one that's straight across for doing the outside. And then this is kind of a way to use your various mixed talents for whatever purpose. Then I have this knife that I made for the inside. It's a curved, it's called a crooked knife.
Oh.
And it's a traditional Native American form of a carving knife, and it, you know.
It's like cleaning your teeth.
Yes, it sounds kind of like cleaning your teeth. I don't knit, so I've tried to do this in meetings a little bit. So it's a little bit more distracting than knitting. But that's the, and then my other tool, only takes those four tools.
Here's the kid's favorite one. Little boys like this one.
My high-tech pocket knife.
Oh, yeah.
That's a straight knife for the outside.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. So that's about what it takes. And I don't know, I'm thinking, you know, like this Lord of the Rings, the magic rings, you know, that mm-hmm. have all this power. Well, I'm thinking, well, I'll make these bowls. These are like magic bowls. And they go out in the world. And mm-hmm. maybe if they're put in the right place and given to the right people, they might generate some food.
Mm-hmm. Most of that red alder, it has a knot that makes it look like a sunburst on the inside of that one.
Right.
And I noticed the other one has it too.
Yeah, it's part of it is usually I exclude the heart, because if there's going to be any checking or cracking, it happens.
Yeah. And it's hard to carve through something like that too. Isn't
yeah, it? But I did include the heart in there, and it's as you might know, for the alder, it doesn't resist decay. So if it stays moist and it gets too old, it'll start to rot. And that's what these streaks are. Mm-hmm. But it gives it kind of a nice effect. So I've been making those just for my own enjoyment. And I'll give them away to people.
Well, I enjoyed your two. I went on two of your, I went on your conifer hike. And
oh, you did?
I was in your floral class. Both of those I enjoyed very much, but I couldn't do your, let's see, was it meditation?
Yeah, and today was...
That was today.
Well, yesterday was... Well, the day before yesterday was vegetation zones.
Uh-huh.
And today was change. Vegetation
change.
Zones.
Mm-hmm.
Fire, weeds, windstorms. Like Minnesota, the big blowdowns mm-hmm. they had in Minnesota.
We had quite a few.
That's what I understand.
Yeah.
In 95, quarter. We live, we had that big one.
Oh, down further south, yeah. Mm-hmm. We had a job, my company, I work for an environmental consulting firm, and we had a job going to Boundary Waters mm-hmm. After that 1999 storm.
Were you at Voyager?
No, we just went into Boundary Waters Wilderness
yes.
mm-hmm. area.
From Ely either.
Pardon?
From Ely, did you go there?
Yeah, I'm trying to think, we started, I guess we started near Ely and we paddled across to the Gunflint Trail.
Mm-hmm.
But our job was to assess effect of proposals to burn some of that blowdown to prevent it from becoming a danger to the town's.
It's been a problem.
Yeah.
And that's when our bark beetle was the worst, too, right after our blowdown.
Oh, is that right?
Because of the debris.
And was it pine? Pine bark beetle?
Mm-hmm.
Because there's also that something, what is it, spruce budworm?
No, this is a pine bark beetle.
Hmm.
And at Task Car, they put up beetle catchers.
Oh, is that right?
What they call those.
Yeah, I forget what they call them. It wasn't too successful.
Yeah.
They trapped them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like the
when I think of a beetle, of course, I think of a beetle, but these are so...
I've seen some. I don't know how it fits.
There was something that was getting in the blowdown. We could hear, you could walk by and hear something chewing inside the tree sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
So. All right, well, thank you very much for coming.
No, thank you. It's kind of a mini session.
Thank you.
Pardon? It's kind of a mini session.
Well, that's a good
way to get a little... little down.
I hope her voice got on tape okay.
Linnea?
Yeah.
I think they did last time. They always check them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you all.
She's very cute.
It's always fun to hear little kids read when they can do it well like that.
I see you have postcards. I just mailed one. It costs 23 cents now. Did you know that?
Yeah, I've got the right stamps.
Huh? You write nice one. I just mailed myself a card. I just got that.
Okay.
Stahikin, and I put a address label up. And I sent it to myself because I want to see if I get home before it does.
Oh, yeah?
Well, I usually do that because I like to write who I'm with and the date on it. And but when I went to mail it, they said, oh, it goes to Wenatchee. It'll have a Wenatchee postmark.
Yeah, that's what Marion said.
And that's true here at Holden, too. It doesn't get postmarked here.
Yeah.
But it goes out at 10 in the morning.
Right. Mm-hmm.
When does it go out?
10 o'clock in the morning.
Well, right. They pick it up at 10, put it on the bus.
Mm-hmm.
Put it on the bus.
Yeah,
that's right. But it's 23 cents, so.
I send some to my children and say, please save.
Oh, yeah, I've done that, too.
Instead of sending them to myself.